What's up, everybody? It's me, Dominique, for the blog Music, Art, Culture. Thank you for listening to today's show. Oh, it's going to be another doozy. Here we are in our vibe, in our happy space. First off, I want to give a shout out to all of our international listeners as well as our domestic partners. Thank you for listening overseas. And yes, very pleased to have you a part of our movement and what we're doing. Check out the blog Music, Art, Culture every week on your favorite platforms. You can listen to new and previous episodes of the show. How? Well, head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and of course Anchor. All you have to do is search the blog Music, Art, Culture, and you can listen however you choose. I'm always hyped and excited to be here with you. What do we talk about today? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about a few current events. If you haven't heard, the TSA will be enforcing big changes. All that means is they have this thing called the Real ID Act, and it goes into effect next year, October 1st, 2020. So be prepared, people, because even if you're flying domestically, not just internationally, domestically, yes, all of our states, all U.S. states and territories will require a Real ID compliant driver's license to fly commercial. If you need to make that DMV appointment, get on it now, because what you don't want is to get to LAX and you can't leave. They're going to be increasing the signage at the airport so that people are aware. And if you don't have the Real ID, you know, the Real ID, that's what they're calling it now. If you don't have the Real ID, compliant driver's licenses, you know, well, you'll just need a secondary form of ID, but just don't forget anything, you know, because if you have to forget something and then miss your flight and go back and get it, and then you can't get out on standby, and then you miss your landing, and then you can't check into your hotel, or by the time you get there, your friends have already left. You just don't want to be that friend. You don't want to be that person stuck in that predicament where you get left behind and everybody else is having fun and moving on, and you are just stuck in a rut because you don't have your Real ID. You know how crazy that sounds? It almost sounds like make-believe, because that's what it's come to, people. We need a Real ID, as if the ones that we didn't already have weren't good enough. Clearly they're not. So be prepared. It's time to adjust and get down with the new wave of identification, or else the TSA will not allow you to board the plane. FYI. Get prepared, people. Okay, so what else are we talking about? Well, head over to musicartculture.org and you can find out. What does that mean? Well, what month is it? Yes, it's April. International Children's Book Day happens in April, and it happened actually on April 2nd, dedicated to Hans Christian Andersen. He is a famous children's author. He's also known for a lot of other things, but I tell you what, he has definitely impacted global culture, penning classics like The Ugly Duckling, The Princess and the Pea, The Little Mermaid, and The Emperor's New Clothes. Hans Christian Andersen was born in Denmark, April 2nd, 1805, and he was laid to rest in Copenhagen on August 4th, 1875. Oh, wow. Could you imagine what life would be like without The Little Mermaid, or The Princess and the Pea, or The Ugly Duckling? And who can forget The Emperor's New Clothes? International phenomenons. And it's just an awesome way to celebrate such an amazing author. If you want to know more about Hans, well, do a Google search. You might find some interesting tidbits. But I'll tell you one thing he is definitely remembered for, and it is not controversial, is his contribution to literacy. So much so that there is a global celebration of children's literature, and the highest award is in his name. Yes, the Hans Christian Andersen Award. So, well, to find out more about that, you can head over to musicartculture.org and read the article. And the United Nations launches a new literacy campaign, which is really cool. To hear more about that, head over to musicartculture.org. They are creating awareness with their book club, SDG Book Club, that focuses on teaching young children ages 6 through 12 about the importance of sustainable development goals. And the reading list will be available in each of the official languages of the United Nations. So what are they? English, Spanish, French, Arabic, Chinese, and Russian. That is correct. Head over, see the small short video on our website, musicartculture.org, to learn more about what the UN is doing with their sustainable development goals, their SDG reading book club, and find out how to stay in the loop and get some of those titles that made the list. Great way to start off April, right? At least we're halfway through, but that's not the point. It's still the celebration of April, and we've got so much more to celebrate. So hang in there. We still got April. I think we just finished with Palm Sunday, and what else happened this past weekend? Coachella! Everybody was out in the valley partying with the Migos, Ariana Grande, who brought out Mace and Diddy and NSYNC and Nicki Minaj, and everybody was in the house on the grass and walking around, some with not a lot of clothing on, and a lot of other things were going on, not to mention a few underaged people that maybe shouldn't have been there. FYI, parents, do your homework. I know Coachella sounds really cool, but I don't think it's that cool if I don't know. I'll let you manage the discretion of your own minors, but if you are a little on the conservative side and a bit prudent and might be a little worrisome if your preteen or under were to see a naked grown adult, yeah, I think you should look into Coachella before you actually take the children there. FYI, I'm just throwing that one out there. That one's for free. Actually, all of it's for free. It's just my opinion. Word to the wise. I'm sure you are wise. And if you were at Coachella, you had an awesome time. Keep listening. I'm your host, Dominique, for the blog Music Art Culture. You can follow us on Twitter at MACEF. Public Arts. Yes, that's right. MACEF Public Arts for the blog Music Art Culture. Yes, the Music Art Culture Education Foundation. And we are in effect here today. So glad that you're hanging out. So glad that you're listening. You can listen to past and previous episodes by heading over to the blog Music Art Culture. Again, you can search that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Anchor. Search the blog Music Art Culture to listen to past and present episodes. Feel free to like, share, tweet, follow, and we will be back to talk some more. Keep listening. All right, welcome back. So I gotta let you know one thing. This is not a paid endorsement, but I can tell you right now, my taste buds are talking. I am drinking the Coca-Cola orange vanilla flavor, and I was a little skeptical and extremely curious, you know, like the rest of you when we saw the commercial, but I can tell you one thing, it's actually really good. It's really, really good. And what does it taste like? It actually tastes like, what is it? What is that soda? That old cream soda. Exactly. That's what it tastes like. Orange vanilla by Coca-Cola tastes like cream soda. So if you're a fan of root beer and cream soda, I think you'll be a fan of this. And I definitely am. Pleasant surprise. Pleasant surprise. Very random note. But anyway, quick read. So I've been on this tip. I have to share this book with you all. And for the blog Music Art Culture, we talk about everything that's music, art, culture related, everything current events. And one day, just browsing through Barnes & Noble randomly, you know, you get in those moods where you don't really know what you want to do, but you want to get out of the house and you don't really want to shop, but you want to look at something interesting. And I'm so glad that I got this book because it was well worth it. wasn't overpriced. It's a really simple read, and let me tell you what the title is. Oh, well, before I tell you the title, I've got to tell you the backstory. And this book, I didn't read the first one, but I can tell you the book that I'm talking about is the sequel to the first book, which was Who Moved My Cheese. Now, of course, you know, people hype books up and all that, yada yada, but I can really tell you that this is a really good book. Now, the first one, Who Moved My Cheese, number one bestseller, described as a global phenomenon. Really, it was just super cool and really popular. A lot of professionals across the board, literally, like from sports to management teams to whatever. If you worked with people, they were all about the book, Who Moved My Cheese? Well, got so popular, the author came back and he wrote Out of the Maze. Now, you're walking around the bookstore and you're like, okay, how do you get to this book? Well, you know, you skim the titles. That's what you do. You look around, what looks interesting. You pick up a book, you read the inside, you flip. It still seems interesting. You read it. And this was definitely not a disappointment. One of the major things I love about this book, Out of the Maze, is I finished it in one day. That's not bragging. That's not boasting. I'm just being honest, because if I can do it, you can do it. And I did it at the beach. So, what, maybe 3 to 4 hours to finish it in total? Letters are large. And, you know, it's really simple to understand. And I think that's really one of the best books to read. So if you're looking at something that is keeping you on your toes mentally and giving you something to look forward to, fall into it. Out of the Maze. One thing that's really great about this book, I can tell you the author, kind of a little melancholy, but I will say one of the sayings from the book, you are not your belief, you are the person who chooses your beliefs. And I'll have to leave it right there. It doesn't get any better than that. You are not your belief. Period. You are the person who chooses your beliefs. Period. And that was page 42. So imagine if you've gotten through the whole book, you'll know the rest of the gems that I do. And, well, that's as far as we need to take it. Great books, easy reads, right price, great day or night. Yeah. If you're tired of watching a movie, it's a great alternative. But if you plan on making a date and you don't want to seem super tired or drained, or you have a lot of reports to read, or you're trying to get in that 30-minute workout, or maybe you just finished cooking, or you're trying to convince yourself to cook dinner, it won't interfere. I promise you. You could easily take down the book with a glass of wine or a tall glass of water. It's up to you, people. The blog Music Art Culture, make sure you check us out, musicartculture.org, and on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts. Let's keep it going. I want to wrap it up with a conversation that is necessary, totally necessary, and a lot has been happening in the headlines. Keep listening as we talk about the college, oh man, the college entrance exam scandal. Okay, so we've got a new generation of college seekers and, a new generation of high school graduates. And there have been some interesting things in the news. Before we get to the scandal over the college admissions cheating, really interesting. I came across this interesting story, and apparently FAFSA is on social media. I didn't know. Now, for people who aren't familiar with FAFSA, basically, if you are looking to go to college and you need money to go to school, well, you apply for FAFSA and they'll give you grant money. There was a prom video that was put out by a high school student, very elaborate. The student had a full Swarovski gown of some sort. I don't know, a full music video was done. It was a full production. Well, the same student was also applying for FAFSA, and they actually kind of clapped back on social media. Now, if that is too racy a term for you, clap back is just a cultural term that is trendy to indicate that they responded. Yes, FAFSA, the government, responded to this kid's video, and the memes went wild, but it was pretty cool. But it does kind of raise the question, if you're planning on going to school and you're saying that you need grant money, be conscious and aware of what you're posting on social media and how you're spending your money. Because I guess what people were really thinking is, if you can afford this expensive prom and you're willing to go all out for one day of your life, and maybe you're 18 and maybe you're not, you're probably somewhere between 16 and 18. Hopefully you're willing to go the distance for your education. Now, I'll leave it right there. But it was pretty interesting. So we'll be sure to post that up on our social media. Head over to at MACEF Public Arts. Again, at MACEF Public Arts, so you can check it out for yourself. Very entertaining there. I think you'll get a kick out of it. It's just one of those things, a little taboo topic. But to the real juice. Yes, the real juice that is rocking the educational world. I won't get into the high-profile schools that are involved or the high-profile celebrities whose children were involved. I just definitely want to talk about some of the pressure that involves college. Now, don't get me wrong, it's clearly an ethical issue. Basically, for those who aren't aware, there was someone who was paid large lump sums of money, in some cases, thousands of dollars, over tens of thousands of dollars, to take these entrance exams for these, at the time, college hopefuls. So basically, high school students coming in as freshmen, they wanted to make sure they passed the tests, and he helped them to get really great scholarships that they weren't fulfilling obligations to, scholarships for sports that they never played, souping up their test results. And the parents paid very heavily, and in some cases, they were paid with stocks. Yes, it got deep, very intricate. And some of these colleges are really big name, top-notch schools, well known throughout our country, are in the US. Well, actually pretty global. You know, it's I don't want to drop a name because I don't think that's really fair to the students who actually work really hard to be in those schools. And I don't want to do a disservice to the institutions, but it's definitely not hard to find. If you do the research, you can figure out how it went down and where it went down. Some kids were expelled, but definitely they are going to court. The parents have been exposed. Their children have been exposed. The test taker have been exposed. Previous coaches that were participating, administrative people have been exposed. And it's definitely a talking point. I think at some stage in the game, after people get over the overall shock, of course, it's disappointing that people would actually go to these lengths, but it brings out a larger talking point. And the whole thing is, we need to stay connected with our young people. We need to stay connected with our close circles to communicate what it means to be successful. Was it, or is it, the pressure of going to a really great school and what that means once you graduate, as far as opportunity, or does it mean that you need to reevaluate what success is on an individual level based on what you've been able to accomplish and achieve? I mean, not to sound too poetic, but think about it. I mean, if you're barely making a 2.0, should you be going to a college known for academia if there is a realistic possibility you are not an academic persona? And I don't think anything's wrong with that. I think there's a lot of pressure put on people to fall into these makeshift roles that don't allow them to utilize and articulate a sense of self that can serve the public, serve the community, and also serve their best interest. And there are a lot of pressures, I think, within the schools to teach young people to perform a certain way. And don't get me wrong, we always want to teach young people excellence, to do things well, to excel, to put their best foot forward. But there's a lot of other lessons that we don't want to lose in the process of teaching them to be competitive and teaching them in a digital society to be data oriented, that we allow them to not be detached from the reality that ethics and morale go hand in hand with a sustainable culture and society that is able to produce things that have real long-term value, right? I mean, when you think about it, well, at least in my mind, when I think about data, the really impressive thing about data is it lets us know statistics, but also when it comes to long-term value, you get to see how something works and for how long it usually is willing or able to sustain itself and or sustain other things and or feed into and or support other things like systems and ideas and, you know, cultivate. Same thing when it comes to, you know, it goes across the board. Stats are cool, but at the end of the day, it's all about the process of how to maintain those stats. It's all about production and how do you produce at a high level. And I think that is competitive. It is very competitive. It can be very stressful for some, but you know, I think it's really interesting, too, how if you look into the story, a lot of the parents were apologizing for their grown adult children and for disappointing their family. And it's very bizarre. We want our young people to do well, but we can't apologize for grown adults. They were fully aware of what their parents were in, you know, collusion to do for their behalf, but the fact that there is no responsibility for the actual students to take because the parents are absorbing it all, I think that's really the saddest part of the story. It's not just that it happened, but insult to injury, it's that the students who were involved or whose parents are involved are not allowing them to take responsibility for their own part in what took place. So it's all about having a clear understanding. Is it really about going to the best school, or is it about doing the best job? Because the best job is what qualifies you to do your job. And you can't do someone else's job if you don't know what qualifies them to do their job. And even if you know what the qualifications are, if you can't meet them, you're still not able to perform at that level. So again, how do you measure success? And what does it look like on an individual level? Without all the comparisons, without all the social media, without all of the groups, you know, our isms, our ideas, our bias, what is success on an individual level? And how do we duplicate that on an individual level so that way we continue to build on what we've already done, right? And add that into culture and society to make it a more well-rounded place. I don't know, FYI. I just wouldn't want someone who passed the bar, right? Who took the test, passed the bar, only to represent me in court and find out that they just had someone else take their test. You know, their bar exam. It's just, it's like, what was the point of that? Same thing with the doctor, right? If you need a doctor, it's like to find out that he never like took his exams. Somebody else took his exams, but he's there in the surgery room with you. Wouldn't you be creeped out? I mean, essentially, that's what this whole thing would have led to if it wasn't exposed. So, I mean, aside from all the big names that were involved, all the money that was laundered, and all of these rich college kids that have now been expelled, it's a real great teaching tool on every level. Yeah. So this episode of the blog Music Art Culture, well, what did we talk about? Books, college admissions, social media monitored by FAFSA, and what to look for with the next following year when it comes to the TSA and the real ID. But I hope you had a good time listening to the show. As always, I will be back with another episode. Thank you so much to our international listeners again. Gotta represent. Have to give you all a shout out. Appreciate the love and support. And you know what? Next episode, I think we'll do something a little special for our international listeners just to make it a little more personal for you. You'll have to listen. Tune in next week. We'll have another great show for you. I'm your host, Dominique. Head over to the blog Music Art Culture by searching it on your favorite listening platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, Anchor, the blog Music Art Culture. Search it, the blog Music Art Culture. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts, and feel free to subscribe to the blog via our website, musicartculture.org. Listen to previous episodes and newer episodes. And until next time, be well, stay fresh. You're listening to the blog Music Art Culture. Sign up for our free newsletter on our website, musicartculture.org. Once you subscribe, our team will get you the link to our monthly Apple Music playlist. Plus, you'll get all the juice on upcoming activities and how you can get involved. Follow us on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts and on Instagram at Music Art Culture.